We've been going through Sunday evenings looking at the Beatitudes, what they hold for us as Christians in this modern day. Fascinating to look at. Once again, Matthew 5, and I won't read all of it for, again, context tonight. We've read it through already, but notice, if you will, we'll jump down to verse number 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. All right, now we're going to look tonight at the meek and what it means for us. Now again, Matthew 5, talking about and bringing out that great Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached. Again, I believe greatest sermon to ever be preached, but his introductory statements are very fascinating because it points directly to us, doesn't it? He says, blessed are you, happy will you be, or happy are you, if you, dot, 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 if you have the right character, characteristics, and even spirit about you. Now, we must remember again that he's teaching us how to reign in life, right? How to reign, how to overcome a lot of this world and this life. A lot of people struggle with that in their Christianity, having victory over certain things and all of that. Now, we talked about all of that, but we think about, listen to Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. Now, the man Moses was very meek. What's it say? Above all men which were upon the face of the earth. Isn't that fascinating that Moses had that kind of a testimony? He was the meekest man on all the earth. Again, let me just remind you, the status of Moses at that time was what? He was probably the most powerful man on the planet. I mean, he spoke to God. Nobody else had ever done that. Nobody else did do that. So he could call down fire from heaven. I mean, he could have done whatever he wanted to do. Now, he didn't do that, obviously. But you think about it. He was meek. His own family members came in and began to accuse him. Do you remember that? Aaron and Miriam, they came to accuse him. And what happened? Well, he didn't retaliate, did he? He could have. He didn't. He just left it to the Lord. And that's exactly what he's talking about. Okay, so we saw the blessed are the poor in spirit. We saw blessed are they that mourn. And we talked about that mourning, that sorrow that we ought to have. Not sorrow like the world. Sorrow, a spiritual sorrow, a supernatural sorrow. Now the meekness tonight. The world worships power. The world worships anything that has power, especially money. But we see that it rejects anything that shows signs of weakness, doesn't it? That's what the world does. It rejects anything that shows a sign of weakness. It is a survival of the fittest. We know that. That's an evolutionary statement. It is a dog-eat-dog world. Some of you fellas and ladies know that. I mean, you have any kind of business, isn't it? It's dog-eat-dog. It is harsh. And only the strong survive. Only the strong live. That's the type of society we live in. The ladder of success is climbed with combat boots. And there is no room for the timid or timid feet on that ladder. That's why most people reject the idea of meekness. They misunderstand what it is. They say it's weakness. Side, there's no place for it in our society if I want to succeed. One Christ rejector wrote this, and listen to this statement. He rejected Christ. He rejected the Bible. He says, leave it to a coward to invent a religion that preaches meekness. He's talking about Christ, isn't he? Leave it to a coward to what? Turn the other cheek, to not retaliate. That's weak. No, they misunderstand what it means. Meekness is not weakness. I'm sure you know that. Meekness is what's called power under control. Power under control. Nobody can successfully charge Moses with being weak. He led a nation of slaves out of Egypt. You remember this? Now, this is one of the hardest things. As a leader, they come out of Egypt with a high hand, and boy, they're hooting and hollering, and woo, this is awesome, praise God, and they get to the river. Dead end. And they all turn to Moses. And then they look over the knoll there, and what do they see? The chariots. A mighty army coming. And they were between a rock and a hard place. And they looked to Moses and said, you brought us out here to die. How dare you? How'd you? And Moses says this, and I love it. He basically says, stand still. In another phrase, it says, shut up. Now, kids don't say that, okay? But he says, shut your mouth, be quiet, and stand still and see what God's going to do. So he's not weak. He wasn't intimidated by anybody. You must remember that. If you ever do a study of Moses' life, you're a fascinating study. But we realize and understand from a secular viewpoint, many have written and made the claims, which I believe are true, that he led in campaigns of battle for Pharaoh's army. So he was not a weak man. We know that. In fact, you know, he took a guy aside and gave him a little talking to behind the shed for beating up one of his Jewish brothers, didn't he? He killed a guy. And you know that. Okay, so he let him out. In 2 years' time, had them trained into a mighty army that could have conquered Canaan. Have you thought about that? In 2 years' time, Moses had a mighty army trained. Now, you remember, these were slaves. These were not well-trained guys. They were, you know, had no food. They were probably skinny, scrawny guys. They dealt with bricks all day. They were beaten constantly. They weren't trained with weaponry. And all of a sudden, within about 2 years, the Bible records for us that these people were ready now to go in and conquer the Canaan land or the valley. Yet he's called the meekest man on earth. The Lord Jesus walked into the temple, cleared the area of the money changers with a whip of small cords. He faced a stormy sea and he said, "Peace be still," and the sea was calm immediately. He faced the soldiers that came to arrest him and caused them to fall backwards by simply saying, "I am." Have you ever thought about that? Jesus was always in control, all the way to the point of he had to tell the arresting officers what to do. He said, "Guys, now, you're supposed to arrest me now. Who are you looking for?" "We're looking for Jesus." "Okay, that's what you're supposed to do now." He's always in control. They never once took Jesus by surprise. And one preacher said, "Has it ever occurred to you? Nothing ever occurred to God." And that's true, isn't it? Nothing takes God by surprise. Oh, I forgot about that one. Oh, no, we see it. Now, I'm talking about the meekness that's exemplified in our Bible. He is meek, but certainly not weak, according to the scriptures. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is that strength or power that's under control. We all have a certain amount of power. It is how we use that power that determines whether we reign in life or remain slaves in this world. Proverbs 25:28, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that's broken down and without walls." Proverbs 16:32, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." He says you have control. You have control. Okay, so a few things here. Meekness is power under control. The word translated meekness was used in three different ways, okay? Doctors used it to describe a soothing medicine. Sailors used it to describe a gentle breeze. Farmers used it to describe a colt that has been broken. Did you catch all that? Isn't that interesting? Wow. The doctors use it as soothing medicine. They use that same word, meekness, that ointment. Sailors used it to describe that gentle breeze that would come across and that heat that they had to be out in, that gentleness, if you will. And that farmer used it, a colt that's not been broken or has been broken. And you think about that. The descriptions help us understand what meekness is. Well, what's medicine? Medicine is power under control. Too much medicine will kill you. We see that all across the world. The biggest epidemic or pandemic, whatever you want to call it, today in America is fentanyl. Fentanyl is flooding across our border at astounding rates. And it's so cheap to make that that's exactly what these cartels are just making these fentanyl pills, particularly by the hordes, by the millions, and in bags, and they're just flooding them across our border. And it's all the individuals that are addicted to heroin and other things like that, they get a cheaper form of it in fentanyl. Well, they take this, and they say if you take half a pill and you're not used to it, you'll overdose your first time. And how many deaths there are, I don't even know. So many. These poor young people that are taking fentanyl to try and get some cheap high, and they die. I mean, it's just so sad. Well, too much medicine, it'll kill you. It'll give you some reaction, right? So we understand. Do you see that correlation there? Well, gentle breeze is power under control. A breeze is just a microcosm, a little tidbit of a tornado, right? Of a hurricane. You ever been in high winds before? Some of you have. I don't know if you've been down south or to the coast or the Gulf. I haven't been down there, but some of you have. The hurricane winds, they get up way up in that the mile per hour speeds, just so scary, just ripping stuff apart. Anybody, have you been in a tornado before? Anybody been in one of those before? Man, just so scary. Just so scary. Well, it's the same thing. That gentle breeze, just a little whisper of what power could be behind it. A broken horse is power under control. Some of you have dealt with horses. Brother JR knows all about that. But you know, man, those things are a pain. Yeah, you got to break them. And all that comes with that. Anyways, you know what I'm saying, right? It's power under control. And I hope and pray that you have that. And Jesus says, now, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What is he saying? They're not put down. They'll have the power. Now, number two, meekness is demonstrated in lives of great men. Now, we studied this morning, but Abraham with Lot. Abraham should have taken and could have taken Lot, and I mean let him have it. It was his nephew. He was younger than him, and he was making Abraham look pretty bad. And he could have taken and said, now, Lot, you do that again, I'm not going to rescue your backside. You do that again, we're going to have a problem. Did he? He didn't do that, did he? Abraham was a very meek man, very slow to anger. Think about that. He says, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee and between my herdmen and thine. We're brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? You choose which one you want to go. You choose the left, fine. You choose the right, fine, whatever. That's who he is. Joseph with his brothers. Talked a little bit about that last week. Genesis 45 and verse 3. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brother could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. They came near. He said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry. And every time I read that, I go, no, Joseph. Man, you should have let him have it. Right? You ever feel that way? And he says, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. Isn't that amazing? He understood exactly what was going on. I'm your brother. Most powerful man on the earth. I, with a snap of a finger, could have had all of them executed within about 5 minutes. I mean, literally, right? And you think about all the memories came flooding back instantly when he saw his brothers, the Bible says. I mean, he remembered all of it. Oh, and all the pain, resentment, bitterness. He was not a super Christian. He was a man just like us, right? He was a human being that had felt all the emotions. But what did he do? Meekness, power under control. He had all power, decided not to use it. He had the power to destroy these men, had no affiliation with them, had no heart for them necessarily. He wanted to see his father, wanted to see his brother, younger brother, but he didn't do it. David with Saul, you know the story goes with David. Saul began to lose his mind, didn't he? Started to go crazy. And we know the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord left Saul because he had refused to follow what the Lord had given him to do. And that's always, by the way, a very scary position to be in when you stop following the Lord, when you stop seeking the Holy Spirit's power and strength and wisdom. But he left him. And David, you know, the whole story goes, long story short. He comes into that cave, remember? And he's sitting in there with his guys. And Saul comes in as a buffoon, not even knowing what's going on. And he sits down, and there's men in the back. And like in the cartoons, it's pitch black, but you just see the eyeballs. And they're staring at him. And one said, David, he's a man. God delivered him. God put him right here so you could kick his backside, man. You could kick his hiney. You could kill him. And David said, no. What? What do you mean, no? Are you going to disobey God? You know, you got those religious friends, you know, around you. And what happened? Saul gets rested up, and he walks out of the cave, and boy, that was... And he goes, what? Turned around. I had an opportunity to kill you, shows him the piece of his garment, right? I cut this up. Oh. Just talking about those great super Christians that we think about. They weren't. They were men just like us. And then I want to show you the Lord Jesus, obviously. Isaiah 53 speaks of this. And he says he was oppressed and was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb or silent, so open he not his mouth. You ever seen that before when they take a sheep and they'll flip it upside down, right? Or on its side, and the sheep just stiffens up, doesn't make a noise, plays dead. You know, those fainting sheep, you ever had those? You scare them and they just fall over, you know. They play possum. You see the deer over here that was hit last night? Right on Mountain Valley, man. But you think about that. And that's what he says. The Lord Jesus, 1 Peter 2:23, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Boy, those are high standards to meet, aren't they? But we can. Talking about reigning in life, we can reign with the Lord. We can have victory. But these are individuals that I just wanted to remind you about that truly exemplified meekness. Let me say next, though. Meekness also, though, is a matter of attitude. Attitude. Attitude determines your altitude. I know you've heard that before. Attitude towards circumstances in life. Attitude towards what's going on around us, how it's going. Attitude towards God's Word. James talks about that. Having the right attitude about the Word and how it dictates our life and leads us. Attitude toward a brother who sins. Galatians 6, you which are spiritual, restore such a one. That's an attitude. Attitude towards divisions in the church, Ephesians 4. An attitude towards those who disagree with us, 2 Timothy 2. Attitude toward the unsaved, 1 Peter 3. Just a lot of these you think about. It's an attitude. Meekness. I'm going to choose to be meek. I'm going to choose. I'm going to dictate my attitude. And by the way, we know we can control that. It's hard to do, but we can. Meekness, though, also is cultivated through difficult experiences in life. It's cultivated. Anyone can act like a Christian when there's no opposition. Anyone can sail a boat when there's no wind and waves. Pretty easy. Anyone can drive a rig when there's not a lot of traffic around, you know, whatever the case is. But it's problematic when things happen. And that's what meekness is cultivated truly through those experiences. When it comes our way. Well, God sends trials again to prove us. We know that. For James 1 talks about that. 1 Peter 1 talks about it. He says, greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. There's a need for it. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God sends us things certain times to prove us. Some are hardened and become bitter. They become bitter towards those things. Israel is a good example. The nation of Israel, when they went through it, what'd they do? They hardened up. God says this is a stiff-necked people. And Moses says, I know. Man, I know. Just kill me now, Lord. Just take me home. He knew that. Saul knew that. David knew that. Solomon knew that. The great kings that reigned over this nation knew that, didn't they? They truly knew it. But some are hardened towards the difficulties and become bitter. King Saul was a prime example, again, of him. We could use many examples of that. Heard the story of one of older gentlemen giving a testimony, and he said at one point when he was about 16 years old, he decided he was going to serve Christ with his life. But then a bad experience happened. Somebody near and dear to him died, and he didn't understand why, and he couldn't get over it. And so he abandoned that following Christ, and he went ahead and just sought his own career and went on in his life. And he said at the age, I think he was about 80-something years old, he was talking and he said, that was the worst mistake I ever made. But didn't you make money? He said, oh yeah. Didn't you run your own business? Oh yeah. But it was the worst mistake I made. I should have stayed with the Lord. I should have kept going for Him. I should have not allowed it to harden me and allowed the bitterness to take root down deep within. Oh, some are made tender and usable. Well, meekness is cultivated through these difficult experiences. James 1:12, blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Tender, usable, and everything God allows. Understanding, as I said this morning, what God allows in our lives, we understand. He is doing everything for our good, isn't he? He has our best interests in mind in everything that he does. Everything. Hard to understand, but we must trust. We must trust that. A good example of that.
that are tender and usable. Paul is a great example. When he was tried, 2 Corinthians 11 talks about all of that. Let me go there before I misquote it. 2 Corinthians 11, as he talks about his tenderness and usable and what God's allowed him to go through. Very fascinating. And we see this, and I'll one more point here, and we'll bring her home here. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Again, he says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, and labors more abundant, stripes above measure, prisons more frequent, deaths often. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have been in the deep. Verse 26. In journeys often, perils of water, perils of robbers, perils my own countrymen, perils by the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, weariness and painfulness, watchings often, hunger, thirst, fastings often, and cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who's offended? I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. Amazing to think about what Paul went through. I mean, probably the greatest missionary to ever live. We say that often, but I think when we get to heaven, we'll see all the missionaries throughout, especially the Middle Ages and the Dark Ages and the 18th, 19th centuries. All of them, that what they did for the Lord. But we think about Paul as one of the greatest. And he says, I went through all of that. It didn't harden me. It didn't embitter me. What did it do? I used it. And meekness is truly cultivated through those things. And you see it in people, don't you? Let me say also, and then lastly, number whatever I'm on here, I think 4. Meekness is rewarded. Psalm 37:11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The abundance of peace. Okay, again, remember, Jesus, he's not just throwing stuff out there. He's using a lot of the Old Testament scripture in this Sermon on the Mount, Psalm 37. Okay, so understanding that and seeing that God is revealing to us that truly we can be meek. We can follow through with what he's given us. Now, those who have no self-control, they're never satisfied. Those who have meekness own everlasting or everything and everlasting life. And we see it. The great enemy of meekness is impatience. And this is why the psalmist admonishes us in that Psalm 37, later down there in verse 34, wait on the Lord, keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. Joseph waited on the Lord, and one day he was exalted and inherited the land. David waited on the Lord. He endured the persecution of Saul. One day God exalted him to inherit the land. By the way, your seasons come, seasons go. The hardships you're going through now, they won't last. They'll pass. They'll pass. The things you're going through now, they'll pass. I tried to encourage one brother in our church. He's going through a difficult time. And I said, brother, remember, this will pass. You'll get through it. You'll get through it. Another lady praying with her and trying to help her. My wife is really helping her. But praying and saying, Lord, help this. We know it'll pass. We know it'll pass. Seasons come and go. And you think about it now, we follow through. And the patience with which we must exhibit and follow through as they waited, trusted. The meek person does not fret or fight. He simply submits and waits, knowing that God's timing is perfect. The trying of your faith, it worketh patience. He says, let patience have her perfect work, completing work, that ye may be perfect, complete, and entire, wanting nothing. Wanting nothing means really having everything. Wanting nothing means having everything you need, everything that you could have or want. Now, we'll wrap it up there tonight. But as you think about this meekness that we're to have, do you have it? Oh, man, don't ask me, please. Don't ask me. But we should have it, right? You know that. As we work through it, as a great example given to us through a particular Moses, a wonderful man of God, simply used by God, who submitted his life to the Lord, said, Lord, go ahead and use me however you want to use me. I want to be used. Lord, let me also remind you, though, that I don't speak well, and they're not going to listen to me, and I can't do it. What's the Lord do? He reminds them of who he is. And when we have a correct view of God, we have a correct view of ourselves. And John the Baptist reaches out, and he says on that seashore, doesn't he? Behold, the Lamb of God. Well, John, aren't you something special? Oh, no, not me. Behold the Lamb of God.
He's always pointing people to Jesus, his cousin. Oh, you're just saying that because he's family. Oh, no, no. I'm not worthy to bow down and unlatch his sandal or his shoe. I'm not even supposed to do that. He baptized him there in the river, and he says, Lord, shouldn't you be baptizing me? No, suffer it for now. But he's always pointing people to Christ, right? And thinking about that, when you have a correct view of God, you have a correct view of yourself, and when you do have that, then you can be meek. You and I can be meek. And we can show that forth and say, Lord, help me to do that. That strength under control. You're not weak. You're not a wuss. You're not a you're nothing of that chicken, scaredy cat. You're none of those things. You're meek. It's a Bible word, by the way, and you follow it. It's strength under control. I choose, although I can, I choose not to strangle you. No, I choose not to retaliate. Although I could say something back very harsh, I could really let you have it. I could put you down. So I got some of you good with words. Man, you could put people down like that, right? You go, nope, I'm not going to say that. And you get in a good, are you good at biting your tongue? Your tongue gets real sore when you get around family especially, right? You're going, You learn to do that. But you know what I'm saying. Are you meek? Do you have that tonight? Oh, what a wonderful beatitude as you look at it. Poor in spirit, are you meek as well? Looking through some of these, are you mourning that sorrow, that godly sorrow that we should have? And the meekness, truly, we shall inherit the earth. We'll rule and reign in this earth. And we'll rule and reign one day. You know that forevermore. All right? Okay, I'll stop there. I want to encourage you to study that. Study those Beatitudes this week. Look at them. Maybe use each one as a devotional throughout the week. I don't know, one a day. But something like that would help us maybe in your daily time with the Lord. Remember to be in your Bible this week. I want to encourage you with that. If you need a Bible reading schedule or something like that, we do have those. If you need a Bible, we have those as well. Anything to do to help you in your walk with the Lord, please let us know, okay? All right. Lord, thank you for this evening, for your grace. As we talk about this, boy, this is challenging to all of us, but to have truly the meekness which you exemplified and many of your great men and women that you used throughout Scripture. Man, oh, we think of so many, Lord. We think of many, many people throughout Scripture and throughout history, many godly people in our own lives that we look up to. They have this in their character. And we pray that you'd help us, Lord, as well. Thank you for giving us this word and the example set. We love you and thank you. Give us wisdom this week. Protect us. Bring us back, please, if you will, Wednesday. And Lord, we look forward to it. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name and amen.